love it. That's awesome. I look forward to that call. Because, you know, he's doing something. And it's like I said, it's a new. He's doing new things. The way he reaches people, you know, he's creative. He knows exactly what's going to touch their heart. Barbara and I were just talking about that, that we're so unique and we're so, I mean, obviously just looking out at each and every one of us, so special, intricately made on purpose. And he knows what's going to get to our hearts. And he already put it all in motion. What exactly is going to pull you into the place where you're sensitive and, like the song says, where you want to sit at his feet and drink from the cup in his hand? Have you been drinking from other cups? I'm telling you, I think everyone in here was a prodigal. Were we all? Okay, this is that group. This is that church. Yeah, if you're messed up, then you welcome here. Come here. All right, well, Holy Spirit, I don't want to stop. Would you put a guard over my mouth, please, a supernatural guard? When it's time to stop, make me stop. When it's time to go, make me go. You do what you want done here. We're going to talk about discernment a little bit, but I just discern his presence. And Pastor Emma had a picture. I don't know if you've ever prayed for this or asked for this, but I remember reading about Kenneth Hagin, and when God told him that he would have a healing ministry, he said that he would feel like, do you remember, Linda, how it would go from one hand to the next hand when he would like touch people? And I just felt like God put something in your hand. I'll just say what I see. Like Iron Man had that really cool glove. it was a really cool glove.
I'll take one.
Okay, so whatever it looks like, that was a really cool glove. So whatever, however it comes, that's going to be fun. Father, we want those mantles. We sure do. In new ways that you're going to use them today. It's the same gift, but it just flows different. It's unique, and that's good. We're excited about it. But we welcome those gifts of the Spirit. We welcome how you manifest yourself in our presence. Rebecca, the Lord said that, you know, the helmet of salvation, that God gave it to that. It's part of the armor of God. And when I think about the armor of God, I think if we put on, I didn't make this up, I read it somewhere or somebody said it, but when you put on all of God's armor that the enemy doesn't know who he's looking at with God's armor on, he thinks he's looking at God. Until we talk, right? Until we let him know who we are. But I believe the Lord wants to remind you to put on your helmet. It's the helmet of salvation, because you have to cover your mind. You have to remind yourself, like the song said, if you sing it over and over and over, you said, I am loved.
Yes.
He what?
God showed me that he was there.
He did?
Yes, yes. I was a Bible study, and Angie, I was doodling, and I wrote your name down, wrote Deer Park. Saying people that has been a good influence, a blessing to your life. He was one of them. So as I'm writing all this down, the lady starts like saying what I was doodling. It was like she had locked her car, the Deer Park police, they didn't used to come unlocked.
Yeah.
They would say, get a locksmith.
Right.
You know? And so now they have this little pop-up kids and they help people. They're there for you.
Amen.
And it was just such a correlation, but he let me know.
Amen. That's right. Wherever you go, that's where he is, Rebecca. He is. He is. Amen. Tony, I'm glad you came back. Yeah, good to have you. All right, so if you remember, or if you were here last week, I talked about Brian and I had gone on vacation, And the last night of our vacation, a little song came to my mind, Kenny Rogers, got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. And you know what? Whatever your thing is, God speaks to you through your thing. And so obviously I love music. And I grew up listening to the old country because that's what my family listened to. So whatever song, I mean, all kinds of music really, but that definitely, you know, God's speaking to you. Or at least at the moment, I kind of took it one direction. But then my daughter and her now fiance, they came in and they'd said they had gone somewhere that night and somebody sang that song. So I thought, okay, same time, same song. Obviously, God, you're talking to me. What are you saying? So then the next night we were home and I had a dream that I was teaching on discernment of spirits. So when you put those two things together, that's what I believe that God was speaking to my heart was you will know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run when you're discerning what you're dealing with. And I'm telling you, I do not have this down completely. I mean, probably not even anywhere near. But I can tell you, and you probably all feel the same way, you can discern the Holy Spirit's here right now, right? We discern His presence. We recognize He's here. You almost just want to be still or something. I mean, I think when you taught about that, about Him being the dove, that the sensitivity of... We're always going to be in His presence, but we can make a safe landing strip.
Yes.
You know, we can make a comfortable, welcoming, inviting place for Him. We can also be like, hey, we got a schedule. You know, if you fit in it, maybe we'll see. So we're not doing that. We want to discern His presence, and when He stops, we just stop and we wait. There's a song I've been listening to. Brian was like, I think he's got it memorized by now, because I know I do. For the One. And this is, it's an old song from Bethel. And it was probably like 8 years old or more now. I don't know why I just now found it. But I can't stop listening to it. Because it's all about thinking about somebody else. What God did for the One. He's going to go after the One. And I'm telling you, that's what He'll do here tonight is... He'll find the person in the room. He knows who you are and what need you have, and He's willing to meet it. We might get in a hurry, but He's not. Can we just pray again? Holy Spirit, help. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, when He was talking to me and that song was in my heart, it wasn't a fearful thing. You know what I'm saying? Know when to run. I know that sounds kind of like, are you sure? It wasn't like that. It wasn't like He was putting fear in me at all. It was using something that I understand to make a point to all of us. And it really is about changing our perspective, changing the way we look at things. You know, typically, maybe not, this is general, this is definitely a generalized statement, but generally speaking, we have three different perspectives. We have a positive perspective, we have a negative perspective, and we have an apathetic perspective. Do you know what apathetic means, or apathy?
Indifferent.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, fine. What? You know. And boy, I'm telling you, we probably in church have to be more careful of that one than anything else. Because we get so accustomed to like the way that we do things, it's just, you know, just another service, just another day, just another, in fact, we're going to look at some of this a little bit more. But the word that we're going to look at, we're going to see it a couple different places in Scripture, is that usually we don't start off that way. In fact, the man that wrote the, he wrote it through the Holy Spirit, but the Message translation, is that Eugene Peterson that did the Message? He wrote, this is something that he said of himself, over the years of time, things not working out as maybe he thought they would caused him to lose perspective. And you can get into a place of apathy. How many times have you gone out and you've prayed for somebody and then you didn't see something happen and then you get what we call a hardened heart? A hardened heart doesn't get that way overnight. What the Scripture says is we wax that way. Wax means it is a process. It is just like a candle that is no longer has light underneath it. When it has light on it, it's formable. But when you remove the light within time, it hardens and it settles into a fixed position. And so all of us, we've got to guard our own hearts. You know, in Proverbs, it says, above all things. And I think of the things that I'm very cautious and very, very much so, I don't want anything to go wrong in this area of life. But this is what God says above everything else. You're not your bank account, not even your family, your spouse, your children, not even this church. Above everything else that we're to guard our heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And over time, if we're not guarding our heart, we're not watching what goes into our heart, we're not cautious as to what's coming out of our mouth and thereby judging our hearts, they wax a certain way. So we don't want our hearts to wax hardened. Now, there's good ways your heart can wax. So we're going to look at a couple of those. The first, a positive way that your heart can wax. This is Isaiah 41, verse 10, and if there's a good way that my heart can wax, I want it. And so this says, fear not. You know, I'm telling you right now, fear opens the door for things that we do not want in our lives. I remember listening to, I think it was Caroline Leaf was saying it about Gloria Copeland, or it was the other way around. I don't remember which one now. But one of them told the other one, fear for your children is the beginning of their destruction. You know, sometimes when we think that we're concerned, and it's teetered over past the point of I'm concerned to a place that we're flat out worried and we're scared. And then when you put that out there, fear, I'm telling you, that is like the calling card to the demonic realm. They love that stuff. And just like faith is how we access and receive the things of God, fear is how we access and take hold of the things of the enemy. That ought to shake you all awake right now and say, I am not allowed to be afraid. Can you get that in your head? I'm not allowed. It's not permissible. It's not allowed. You're also not allowed to worry. Did you know that? It's not in here. It's not acceptable. You know, we'll take things like, okay, I can't look at porn, but it's sure all right to just give me up a good old worry. No, it's all the same. It's all the same. It's all the same. You're just opening up your soul to the wrong source. And when you sit alone and you're worried about things going wrong, you have just said, devil, come on into my house and take over my life. So this says right here, fear not. There's nothing to fear. I am with you. That's why we don't have to be afraid. God's here. He's with us. However it goes down, he's here. So he's with us. Do not look around you in terror. And man, I'm telling you, there's so many keys in this verse right here. But do not look, because what you are looking for, you will find. Do not look around in terror. Man, I'm just so scared. I'm so scared. I'm telling you, I don't know why on Facebook, darn snakes. My husband, he put on this Texas snake thing. And so, you know how ads come up, it's constant. So I see all these snakes. And I'm telling you, once it gets in my head, I need help. So, I mean, I have snakes in my head and like, oh, I can't stand it. Because I tell you about the snake that was in our yard that was tormenting me for a long time. He would look in the window at me. I knew it was out there. I named him. The first name that I named him, it was a bad word. I'll say that straight up. So I told him I was sorry, and I renamed him Stephen. And so I would look at him. He would just sit right up there, and he would curl right up in that front little area right there. And I was like, Stephen, you stay over there, and I'm going to stay here. And I would leave the house, and I would run out the front door, because I just knew he was faster than me. He's going to get me. So anyway, when it gets in my head, that's terrible. So you can't let it get in your head. Fear not. God is with you. And look at this. This is where we're going. Don't look around in terror and be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will harden you to difficulties. Isn't that a good thing? You can be hardened to a place where, man, if things are falling apart, all right, it's all good. I got Jesus. Don't got any money? That's okay. I got Jesus. Like you said last week about all your things getting stolen, we still have Jesus, right? I mean, they're just things. They can be replaced, right? They can be replaced. It's just stuff.
The thief is coming to the Lord.
No.
He is coming. Yeah.
I declare that in the name of Jesus. He is coming to the Lord. Yeah.
You know, it says that we give no place. Man, that was a revelation to me. Jesus said, he's coming. But he has no place in me. And that word place was topos, and it meant geographical location. And man, that just rocks my world, because I will give no place. It says in Ephesians, we are to give no place, no geographical region, whether that's in our heads, in our hearts, in our homes. That's up to each one of us to decide. I give him no place. You think if Jesus could do it, you can do it too?
Yes.
Absolutely, yes. Okay. All right. So I will strengthen you. I will harden you to difficulties. I will help you. I will help you. Isn't that good to know? You're not doing this by yourself. He said, I will help you. I will help you. I will hold you up and retain you, my victorious right hand of righteousness and justice. Can you just picture that right now? The Lord, he's holding you up. That's why we sang that song. I want to sit at your feet, lean back into you. Let him hold you up. Let him strengthen you. Let him get you to a place where he's hardening you to difficulties. Sometimes people think that we're insensitive when we're hardened to difficulties, and we say things like, well, you have Jesus. And they were like, no, don't you want to worry with me and be all upset about everything that's going on? No, I really don't. I really don't, because I've done it and I know where it ends up, and I don't feel good at the end of the day. And you're not going to either. Let him harden you to difficulties. So we can harden a good way. We can, that's a good way, but here's a negative way. Look at this one. This is Hebrews 4:7. This is another way that we can wax or harden. Remember, it's a process. It takes time. Think about the fire of the Lord. We talked about the baptism of fire a few weeks ago. It's our job to keep the fire lit. You know that? When you keep that fire going, because he lit it in the first place, but we just keep it going. We just fan that flame. And as we keep that fan flaming, we're pliable in his hands, right? If we don't keep it, we harden in ways that we're not supposed to. And look at this way that you can harden. It says, again, he said a definite day. It's today. Today, right now, right now. You can change your mind about the direction that your life is going in right now, today. Even if right up into the very moment that you walked in the building, you know, the police were chasing you down the street, you can start over right now. You know, they may still get you on your way out, but look, you got a new attitude. You got a new perspective, right? Because you've hardened yourself. He's hardened you to difficulties. And he said a definite day. It's today. And he gives us another opportunity of securing rest. We just said this is a place of rest, but we're also in a season of rest. He provided that for us on the cross. It's a perpetual season of rest. We can always rest in him. The work is finished. So saying through David after so long a time, in the words already quoted, today, if you would hear his voice, and when you hear it, don't harden your heart. Have you already heard his voice? You know, it's, think about this. There's however many people are in this room tonight. We're all going to hear this same message, but we're not all going to walk out the same. It's all up to us. We talked about this not long ago. Information plus application is transformation. You can hear it. You can hear the same message. I listen to the messages. I do. I go over. I study it. But it's honestly, it's just more info if I don't put it to use. Yeah. And it's great. I mean, I love what we're learning, but you could hear all day long forgive and just bound and determined, I'm just not going to do it. Yeah. What good did it do you to listen to another sermon or go to another service? Apply it. Apply it to your life today. That's what this said today. Don't harden your heart when you hear his word. So you can harden it in a good way, let it be hardened to difficulties. You can harden it in a bad way, that you just don't take his word and let it penetrate you. But here's really the way that we're going to go. We're looking at how you can harden it in an apathetic way. And like we said, sometimes apathetic is meaning that you just show little or no interest. So look at this. This is Matthew 24. I know you know what Matthew 24 is. It's the end times chapter of the Bible. It's often called the Olivet Discourse. We'll start with verse 12, and then we're going to kind of go over to Peter, but then we'll come back to Matthew 24 again. But this verse that says wax, we're talking about waxing apathetic now. The love of the great body of people will grow. In the King James, it says wax. It's the same word. The love of the great body of people will grow, or it will wax cold because of multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. So why is the heart waxing or progressively increasingly hardening and getting cold? What did it say? Lawlessness. It's not unusual to us anymore to see certain things. Are you shocked anymore when you hear cuss words on regular TV? Remember, we had channel 2, channel 11, channel 13, channel 26, channel 39. What do you have now? You never heard a cuss word on those before. It's not even, I'm telling you, you guys, it doesn't surprise us a bit anymore what we hear, right? How about when we hear music lyrics? There's no curbing any of that anymore. How about when you turn on your TV? How many murders happened right about? Are we even shocked? Does it shock you? Does it disgust you? How about when you hear about children being stolen from their parents and sold? How about when you hear about sex trafficking? We're not even, we've heard it so much. We've seen it so much. You remember when 9/11 happened and they showed the picture of the plane going into the Twin Towers repeatedly, and you had that. You know what happens? Eventually you wax cold to it because you've seen it so much. Sometimes the pain of it, of you just harden. I can't go there anymore. So another way that we can say this is we become desensitized. Think about this. Have you heard? I know you have, but video games that show violence and they promote violent minds, and those who play those act out some of the scenarios that they watch in those games. We know that this is true, and yet they're still sold. How can that be? I don't even understand. How can we say, and we can't leave it up to government, we can't leave it up to regulation. You know, if we really lived by the law, the two, love the Lord, love yourself, well, you wouldn't have to have anybody tell you not to watch that video game, because you would live by the law of love, and you would know, no, well, that could hurt myself, and that could hurt somebody else, that could hurt God. You know, you wouldn't have to have a speed limit. If we live by the law of love, no, I don't want to do that. We'd get to stop signs and people would go, no, you go. No, you go. No, you go. Because we would live by the law of love. We wouldn't have to have everything regulated and be told what to do all the time. If we just simply, you know, honestly, it sounds corny, but that's how God wants us to live. Amen. Remember, they wanted Saul. They wanted a king. He said, you got me. I'm the king. You don't have to live being told what to do all the time. Just live by the Spirit. He'll tell you what to do. Right? Okay, so we can grow, we can wax, which happens over time, we can wax apathetic. So Matthew, we're going to come back to that one in just a second, but let's flip over to 2 Peter chapter 2. And in this chapter, it's basically a warning to believers about false prophets, and that we, as believers, need to be able to discern what's going on, especially now. I mean, it's always that way, but I'd say for us, definitely right now. But the previous chapter, so if you go back to the previous chapter, Peter, he wrote about, because he was with Jesus, right? He traveled with Jesus. He spent those 3 years with Jesus. He was in close proximity to Jesus. He knew Jesus like few ever did, right? And he even said in that chapter, back in chapter 1, he said, we saw him. We heard the voice on the Mount of Transfiguration. We heard the Father's voice. But he goes on to say, what you have, it's better. He said that. Because, and we talked about this just this past Sunday, most of us would go, wait a second, no, I'd rather have Jesus right here. And Jesus, Peter, he said, what you have, it's better. It's the prophetic word. It's the word of God. Because I'm telling you, your feelings are going to change. Your thoughts about things are going to change, but this will never change. It will never change. So that's how he kind of gears them up. He starts talking about, we've seen some things, we've heard some things. If you haven't, it's okay. Depend on this. And then he goes into saying, here's what's happening right now, but it's going to happen increasingly. So let's see, start in verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1. But also in those days, meaning in the same days that they had all these great things happening, remember the gospel was being spread, of course persecution was happening as well. And he said, in those same days there arose false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among yourselves, who will subtly, and I'm telling you it's subtle, if you think that none of you can be deceived, why do you think Jesus talked about deception so much? It's all around us, and of course we can. who will subtly and stealthily introduce heretical doctrines, destructive heresies, even denying and disowning the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their immoral ways and lascivious doings because of them, the true way. Now think about that. When he emphasized the true way, meaning that there's going to be other ways that are presented, especially now in the end times. It's going to be so subtle, maybe just taking one little thing out. Maybe it's so much of the truth, but just this little bitty tweaked off just a little bit. And it's going to get in there and it's going to do something to a mass of people. It talks about it in Matthew 24. We'll read about it there again. And then it goes on to say, in their covetousness, their lust and their greed. So that's the motivation behind false prophecies. Covetousness, it's wanting. It's recognition. It's I want something for me. I want to gain something for myself. I want to gain a following. I want to gain attention. I want money. There's money is a great motivator, right? For I'm telling you, isn't it? So in their covetousness and their lust and their greed, they will exploit you with false cunning arguments from of old. The sentence of condemnation for them has not been idle. Their destruction has been asleep. For God did not even spare. And this is so crazy because he's talking about the false prophets and then he goes into talking about demonic. And here's something I want to just point out because he didn't make it clear just in saying it, but we can read between the lines. What inspired the false prophecy if he's now going to talk about demonic? Discern of spirits, right there. He was telling you, they're influenced. They're being influenced. If you find somebody is guiding and leading you astray, there's an influence behind it. What would happen if you and I knew when to hold them, knew when to fold them, knew when to walk away, and knew when to run? We wouldn't allow ourselves to be influenced by false teaching. Okay, so it goes on to say, for he did not spare the angels that sinned, but he cast them into hell, delivering them to be kept there in pits of gloom till the judgment and their doom. And he spared not the ancient world, but he preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven other persons when he brought a flood upon the world of ungodly people. And he condemned to ruin and extinction the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, reducing them to ashes, set forth an example to those who would be ungodly, and he rescued righteous Lot, greatly, listen to this, worn out. You know, when you go back and you read Genesis, do you get this impression of Lot as righteous? I wouldn't have, you know. I'm thankful that we have all of Scripture because you can connect the dots. Because Peter had insight that you and I don't have just by reading Jesus. And he said, no, Lot was righteous. He was in right standing with God. But this environment, it wore him out and it distressed him by the wanton ways of the ungodly and the lawless. And it's really interesting because we all know, it says in 1 Corinthians, that bad communications corrupt good manners. And I didn't put this scripture back there, but I want to read it to you real quick. This is Genesis 19. This is about righteous Lot, but I thought it was so interesting because it says, this is verse 15. When morning came, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and two daughters. Okay, Lot already knew that the city was going to be destroyed, but he had to be woke up by the angels that said, it's time to go. Something's wrong. Really, really wrong. I think he'd waxed apathetic. I think he'd been in that environment for so long that his heart had hardened, and he was like, oh, okay, it's just another day in Sodom and Gomorrah. He got acclimated to it. Okay, so look, it said, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, and be off, lest you too be consumed and swept away in the iniquity and punishment of the city. But while he lingered, what is wrong with you? Well, I don't even understand. You're going to stay there? You're going to hang out in that? While he lingered, the men took him. He was in right standing with God by faith. And I'm going to tell you something about this. I'm reaching out, going on a limb here. I don't personally think that God would destroy this city had they not been truly corrupt. Right? Probably Nephilim, probably. Because God spared wicked people continuously. But when their bloodline was defiled, you're done.
Yeah.
You're done. And that city was done. But he was so used to being around that, that his heart had hardened so much to the point that he was willing just to hang out in it. Listen, I know all of us, we're in church all the time in this group. We got a great group. But we still have to watch out for this.
Yes.
We really do. We have to watch out that our hearts don't just harden and we're just so used to, well, there's just another murder in Deer Park. There was just another rape here today. Just another kid was molested. No, wait a second. That's not supposed to go down. Are we doing our part here? Sometimes I'll walk around LaPorte, no murders here, no abductions here, no rapes here. There's not one child that's going to be lost, not here. I live here. I live here. We live here. Do we know the authority we have? Do we discern what's going on in our environment? Do we discern what's going on in our neighborhood? Are we so consumed with ourselves? I know. Look, it. Believe me, I'm there too, because I'm... Anyway, all right, verse 16. And while he lingered, the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, for the Lord was merciful to him. And they brought him forth, and they set him outside of the city, and they left him there. And you know what happened to his wife? Do you think she was apathetic? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. No, I want to go back there. I want seeing it set on fire. What do you want to go back to? The destruction to the destroyer. And I'm telling you, we can discern environments that are so vile, and yet our heart can be hardened to the place that we still want to hang out there. Before you were all here, of course, anybody ever go to a bar before and think, I don't think I feel really comfortable here. Let me have another one. Something doesn't feel right, but you know, might as well stay a little while longer.
Well, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here. So, okay. So back to Matthew 24. And like I said, this is the last day's chapter. So much in here, but we're just going to read a few verses. I think we're going to get down to verse 24, but we'll just start there in verse 1. Jesus departed from the temple area, and he was going on his way when the disciples came up to him to call his attention to the buildings of the temple and to point them out. And he answered, "Do you see these?" So he's getting their attention. Look at all this grand display of Herod the Great, right? Look at all that he built all around him. Look at this temple. Do you see all this? Truly, I tell you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. You think he was impressed with that? No, it's coming down. Verse 3, when he was seated on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and they said, "Tell us when this is going to take place." So they took it as, okay, the temple's going to come down. Tell us when this is going to happen. Is that the sign of the end times when it's all going to wrap up and we're going to be out of here? And so he said, while he was seated on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came and they asked, "Tell us when this is going to take place, when it will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age." And Jesus answered, "Be careful." So it's like he didn't even answer their question, but he did, of course. He answered it in the Jesus way. And he said, "This is what you got to do. Yes and no. Yes, this is what you do. Yes, be careful that no one deceives you." Listen, we're in the information age, and as wonderful as it is to be in the information age, you can be overloaded with information. Somebody told me yesterday, and I didn't even know this was possible because I don't want to say stupid, but where this world concerns, I'm not that smart. But he said that he asked AI if this product was better than that product. I was like, you can do that? I didn't even know that was possible. Is that what Siri is on your phone? I never do that because I still have some weird governmental things in my head. I'm like, Siri's not going to know where I am. I'm sure we're all on GPS and they know exactly where we are, but I don't know. I just don't want to be in all that stuff. I'd rather just, I don't want to know. But I didn't even know you could do that kind of thing, right? This is, you can know anything. You can just ask Siri any old question and Siri's going to answer you. But are you going to base your life on what Siri says?
No.
You know those are programmed? How about the History Channel telling you how Jesus came and what happened when he died? Is that really where we want to get our information from? And let me tell you what, if you're watching preachers constantly all the time, you should be careful of that too.
Yes.
I know, I hated saying that one, but it's really the truth. It is the truth. There's like a celebratory preacher thing going on. And you can be more hooked on them than you can be hooked on the Word and the Lord and let Him speak to your heart. We're inundated with too much information. Okay, so Jesus answered and said, be careful. Be careful. No one misleads you and deceives you and leads you into error. For many will come on the strength of my name, appropriating the name of which belongs to me, saying, I'm the Christ, and they will lead many astray. You know, we think that's ridiculous. That could never happen. It is happening. It is. It's happening all the time. It's happened for years. It's happening today, and it will continue to happen. Okay, so many will come, and they will say, I'm the Christ, verse 6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not frightened or troubled, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. You know, most people think that you can't live a life where you're not frightened or troubled, knowing that there's wars and rumors of wars. How do you think people live right now that are in Jerusalem? How could you live there, really? You have to make a choice. That has to be a decision. I am called to be here. I am going to be here. And I'm not going to live in fear. Right? We have to do the same thing today. You know, they'll tell us that there's all the illegals coming in from the border, that they are part of gangs. And before you know it, you could probably lock yourself up somewhere and think, I just don't even think I should go outside anymore, you know, and store up a bunch of food. And I'm not against all that if God's told you to do it. And that's, honestly, it's perfectly fine. If he said, hunker down and whatever, do it. But if we're paying attention to all that and we're living in a place of fear, that's not what's supposed to happen. He said, you're going to hear of all these things. Don't let it trouble your heart. If you're troubled right now because of all the things that are going on, you're paying way more attention to that than you are to him, because that's what he said was going to happen. It is going to happen. Okay, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in place after place. You know, when you think about these verses about the nations rising against one another, I know you heard that the end of the story is there's going to be a one world government, right? Did you know that God separated the nations? That he did that at the Tower of Babel, and he said, multiply. Go out and multiply, produce, spread across the earth. That's not his will for us to come together as one united nation. And do you understand what the game plan is all that? It's not to strengthen you, it's to weaken you. It's to take over. And so I know I said this past Sunday in Sunday school. We'll look at the Antichrist here in a second. And I'm looking to you to teach me about the end times. I don't know. I want to know. But those who do not want to hear about politics and church, get a grip. Seriously. The Antichrist is a political leader. He is. So, and I like one of my teachers, he said, pull your thumb out of your mouth. So pull your thumb out of your mouth. Get over it. We're going to talk about it. We have to. That's what it is. Okay. So all this is the beginning of birth pangs. What happens at the end of birth pangs? A baby, right? So there is an end to it all that is wonderful. It is glorious. It is great. But birth pains suck. So this is the beginning of them, and the intolerable anguish. Then they will hand you over to suffer affliction. Man, this just sounds rough. They will hand you over to suffer affliction and tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations. Why? Because you love me. It's crazy to think about it, how tolerant we are of other religions and the... It's just really hard to get, isn't it?
Yes.
We've become apathetic. We rolled over. Yep, come on in, take over, do whatever you want. And the Christians will just step aside and we will just let you. And there will be many offended and repelled and will begin to distrust and desert him whom they ought to trust and obey, and will stumble and fall away and betray one another and pursue one another with hatred. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive and lead many into error. And here was the verse that we started off with. And the love of the great body, but look at this. It didn't say the love of everybody. It said the love of the great body. We don't have to let this be indicative of us. Just because these are the characteristics of the last days, there's always a remnant of people that says, not me. Not for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. So he said, and the love of the great body of people will wax or grow cold because of multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. We just see it. It's over and over and over. It's in our face all the time. And then in verse 13, it says, but he who endures to the end will be saved. And this good news of the kingdom of the gospel will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. Okay, so now we know when it's going to come, after the gospel is preached to all nations. Okay, so when you see the appalling sacrilege, the abomination that astonishes and makes desolate, spoken of by the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place. Let the reader take notice and ponder and consider and heed this. So people are looking for this right now. They, you know, there's groups of people, depending on your end time eschatology, you think this has already happened. There are those that are believed that we're living in some of those things that are happening right now. Others believe that this is a future event. I believe this is when the Antichrist stands up at the Temple Mount and he demands to be worshipped and he reinstitutes temple sacrifices. When you see these things happen, he's giving us the signs of the times. This is the way it's all going to go down. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who's on the housetop not come down or go into the house. And let him who's in the field not turn back to get his overcoat. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah, right? And alas for the women who are pregnant and for those who have nursing babies in those days. And I think you just taught us on that, those who are immature, right? That's a total different way of looking at that verse. For then there will be great tribulation, affliction, distress, oppression, such as not has been seen from the beginning of the world till now. And look at, this is where we're going. The last three verses. And if those days had not been shortened, no human being would endure and survive, but for the sake of the elect, God's chosen ones, those days will be shortened. If anyone says to you, then behold, here is the Christ or there is the Christ, do not believe. For false Christs and false prophets will arise, and they will show great signs and wonders so as to deceive and lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Okay, so really the entire point is made in these verses, that he shortened the days because the great body of believers lost the correct perspective and they were unable to discern what kind of spirit they were dealing with due to apathy. They just got used to it. Are we just used to this? Yeah. We really are. We really are. But we can wax. We can let that fire, we can put ourselves in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we can be pliable in him. And I'm telling you, because he said, discern this and do not be deceived, deception is a sign of the end times. And so this gift that I believe the Lord is saying he wants for us to have, discernment of spirits, it's a gift. And like I told you last week, we got to ask for it. But in order for us to counter some of this, I want to go back to Peter real quick and look at something he said. Remember, I told you that in that first chapter of 2 Peter, he talks about the things that he and John, they had seen and how incredible it all was. And this is probably, this is up there with one of my favorite Bible verses. I love this verse. This is 2 Peter, it's 1:19. Gosh, just seriously, get a hold of this one. After he said, we were eyewitnesses, we heard his voice, the voice of the Lord. We saw him. He said this, verse 19, we have the prophetic word made firmer still. You do well to pay close attention to it, like a lamp shining in a dismal, squalid, and dark place. How long are you going to pay attention to this? Until. You are so fixed, so focused on the prophetic word. You focus on it until the day breaks through and the morning star rises in your heart. You don't know how to discern? This is how you do it. You're going to wait for an audible voice? Me too, but it hasn't happened yet. You're going to wait till you see Jesus? I would love that. That would be very cool. I hope it happens. But if it doesn't, we have the prophetic word made firmer still. This is how we know how to discern if something is from the Lord or be swept up in deception. He said it's by focusing on the word of God, on the prophetic word, until the light shines on the inside of you. And I know what that was. I know exactly what that was. I know what that is. Don't you know that we can be led like this? We can live our lives like this. Let's do. It's the safest place to be. I'm telling you, he will tell you if you're supposed to go to the grocery store that day. I used to tell the kids, you owe nobody an explanation if you feel like God's told you don't do it. Be led. Be led. The Spirit-led life. That's the Spirit-led life. discern what's leading you. And you do it by focusing on the prophetic word until the light breaks through and the morning star arises in your heart and you know exactly what source you're dealing with. So we want to pray, of course, and I believe Pastor, you probably have something you want to share with us on this. But I want to discern. I really do. I want it so bad. I want to know, you know, when I'm interacting with somebody. In fact, during praise and worship, I never thought this about this person. I just kind of thought maybe they were struggling and going through a tough time. And then the Lord just put it in my heart that this was a spiritual thing. And that never occurred to me. And I thought, I should know better than this. I want to live where I know better. I know what I'm dealing with. You know, don't you?
Yes,
ma'am. Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Please do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yes.
And you know that they're false because you know the prophetic word. Yes, sir?
I was thinking about the salvation, the helmet of salvation. It covers our ears, mm-hmm. and it directs our vision.
Yeah, that's good. You're right.
And so, you know, a lot of times if we're looking at bad stuff.
Yes.
Or we're listening mm-hmm. to bad stuff. It's going in there
yes.
to some degree.
Right, you're right.
And why are we going to want that to some degree in there?
That's right. Yeah.
Why put a little bit of a bad egg in the novel?
Right.
If we know it's a bad egg.
You're right. And that you wax that way. It just increasingly heads the wrong direction. And we're not sensitive anymore when we discern something. I remember I used to say to the kids this one, that if I walked up to your door and walked into your house today and said, "Hi, kids, I'm home, but I'm not your mom." You ought to know your mom's voice well enough to say, "That's not mom," and hightail it out of there. Do we know the Father's voice like that? If we don't, we should. We absolutely should. No reason not to. Anybody else have anything? Yes, sir?
Scripture says, "My sheep shall know my voice."
That's right.
"And they will not follow."
They will not. That's right. I pray that over my daughter, that nothing can snatch her from his hands. Nothing. She knows his voice. She does. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
This is very hard for me.
Okay.
We need to pray for you. And I mean, it's going to be different than anybody understands. But I need you to come up here to the front. And I need to be very sensitive to my leadership, but I need to break some stuff that it can open up an area. And this is very hard for me because I'm in learning myself.
Yes.
And I want to humble myself. I'm not trying to show off, but I've got gifts in me that I hold back because they're very strong and they show me. Mm-hmm. They do,
yeah.
But I need to pray for you. Would you mind?
Brooke.